conveniently fail to ignore. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the wife being in submission to her husband. A lot to say about it. Genesis 3 and verse 16. From the very beginning, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth your children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall what? Rule over you. That goes all the way back to the beginning. After sin entered the world, this is God's pronouncement. He shall rule over you. Now again, as we pointed out last week, that does not mean that he is to be a tyrant. He is not an emperor. He is not a king from the position that he is just to treat her however he wants to. There are laws, there are regulations regarding that. But he shall rule over you. In Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Christ is going to treat the church correctly. He loved the church. He loved the church so much that he gave himself for her. And we are to submit to the Lord in everything. And that is the example. Husbands, love your wives, give yourselves to them, provide for their needs, protect them, do all the things that you are supposed to do. But wives, you are to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In Ephesians 5 and verse 33, as the Apostle Paul is concluding this section of the text, he says, Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. What Paul had said had relationship to the church, Christ in the church. But now he's making another application. Husbands, love your own wife as yourself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. That's the responsibility that you have, a God-given duty. Colossians 3 and verse 18, Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Colossians 3, 18. There's the responsibility, the duty. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, The older women likewise, that they admonish the younger women, young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Obedient to their own husbands. And the women who would get out of that role and refuse to submit to the Lord's instructions in that regard would in fact be blaspheming against the Lord or cause others to blaspheme against the Lord and speak against Him. 1 Peter 3, verses 5 and 6. Another passage. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed, calling Him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now, the idea that Sarah obeyed her husband is put up here by the Apostle Peter as an example for women today. Women are to submit to their husbands, calling him Lord. Now, in our view of that, that's going way overboard. I understand. But what is Peter really saying here? Peter's statement has to do with the respect. She is submitting to what the Lord has to say regarding this. She is submitting to Abraham as being the master of the home, the ruler of the home, the head of the house. And that's really all there is to that. She is not saying that you are Lord and God. She is saying that you are master of the home. You are in the position that God has put you in. And I recognize that position. And we need to recognize that as well. Here's a statement from Barclay's Daily Study Bible. Under Jewish law, a woman was a thing, a possession of her husband. She had no legal rights whatever. In Greek society, a respectable woman lived a life of entire seclusion. She never appeared on the streets alone, not even to go marketing. She lived in the women's apartments and did not join her menfolk even for meals. From her there was demanded complete servitude and chastity. Under both Jewish and Greek laws and custom, all the privileges belonged to the husband and all the duties to the wife. Now that's the way that it was in those times. In fact, as we look over to the Middle East today, what do we see? We see a very similar custom taking place there today. It's very similar. Now, God does not require that the woman that the woman never come out of the home, that she never shows her face. Men, I believe, had the wrong concept of what woman's role was to be in the home. And I believe that people in the Middle East today have the wrong understanding of the woman's rights and the woman's work in the home and her role in the family. This word submit, as we look at it from Thayer, it means to obey, subject oneself to. Barclay Newman, New Testament Greek English Dictionary, means to put in subjection, subject, subordinate, to be subject, submit to, obey, be under the authority of, take a subordinate place. You place yourself under. And there's an interesting concept, by the way. These passages under consideration refers to a loving and voluntary submission. It's not that the man has to beat her into submission. No. The husband loves his wife and he's willing to give himself for her. He treats her with respect and honor. A godly woman recognizes her role and submits to it freely, lovingly, respectfully to the Lord, in obedience to the Lord's will. These passages refer to a loving and voluntary submission. The woman submits to God's way. And the man also must submit to God's way and love her and respect her and treat her with fairness. A wife is not a slave. Her obedience should be voluntary. Just as Christ does not beat his bride into submission, the wife should lovingly submit to the husband because she loves the Lord and she submits to his will. Subjection does not mean inferiority. And I want to emphasize that. And a lot of people, I think, have missed it over the centuries, in the past, and in places like the Middle East. They view women as an inferior being. Are they right about that? No. She is equal in nature. Different in function, but equal in nature. She is equal in value. Do you believe that a man's soul is any more valuable than a woman's soul? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They are equal in value, importance. Here's something else that we need to think about. The man has his responsibilities. He is to be the head of the house. He is to go out into the workforce. He is to make a living. He is to provide for his family. He is to be also the head in spiritual matters. He is to teach and instruct his wife and his children the ways of God. That's an important function, isn't it? His responsibilities are real and they are important. But what about the woman's responsibilities? Just because her responsibilities are different, are they any less important? What was that song that Glenn Campbell wrote sang many years ago? The hand that rocks the cradle does what? Rules the world. There ought to be a hall of fame for mothers, he said in the song. And that is so true. Women are the most powerful influence. You get right down to the bottom of it, the bottom of the barrel, the way that the woman goes in the country is the way that the country is going to go. Mark it down. If women are not fulfilling their responsibilities in the home, bringing up their children, teaching their children like they should, well, how is that going to translate in the world? How is that going to translate in the state? How is that going to translate in our city? The importance is so great, and we need to recognize the importance that women have, and their role is so important. God has given them a very important position and intelligence. Are women less intelligent than men? Ashton, I saw you. Women are not less important than men in intelligence. They are not less intelligent. In fact, you know what? Ashton really did. He just kind of, you know, I just saw the little smirk on his face. He didn't say anything derogatory, I assure you. But let me say this. I wonder how many women are valedictorians, or girls are valedictorians in high school compared to men. Aren't there more girls that have better grades in school? Why is that? It's not because they're more intelligent. It's because they apply themselves more to the work, I'm sure. Intelligence has nothing to do with this. What about moral strength? Do men have a stronger moral standard and moral strength than women? Absolutely not. Now, in the Garden of Eden, Eve did yield. She was deceived and she ate. And then she gave to Adam, her husband. And he ate eyes wide open to what was going on. There is not a difference in moral strength from a gender perspective. From an individual perspective, you know, as you look at individuals, some women may be, have a greater moral fortitude than men in that home or whatever. But you know what? From a gender perspective, there is no difference. We all have the same choices to make. Now, I will say this about that. One of the dangers that women face and they have to overcome is the temptation of looking at things from an emotional perspective rather than a reasonable perspective. Many women, and this is just a fact of science, a fact of nature, many women think from an emotional perspective than the rational perspective. That's the way that is one of the key distinctions between men and women. So there is a danger in that regard. So we need to be careful in that. But there is not inferiority. The key is for both, men and women, to accept the role that God has given you. That's what it's all about. Are you willing to accept the role that God has given you? Many women are not willing to do that. Many men are not willing to do that. That does not change God's role. God's role will always be the same for both men and women. They both have important functions that must be done, must be fulfilled in order for society to be what God wants it to be. Without one or both of those individuals fulfilling their roles, society breaks down. God knows what He's doing, and we must submit. As a wife, she has the responsibility to love her husband. Here's an interesting side note. The word love in Titus 2 and verse 4, older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. That word is not agape, as in Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about the husband is to love his wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. The word there is agape, which means to be genuinely concerned about the best interest of someone else. This word is philandros. The Greek term philandros is translated love. Fond of man is the idea. Strong says, affectionate as a wife, love their husbands. Primarily, loving man defines the term this way. Signifies loving a husband. In instruction to young wives to love their husbands, that is, to be lovers of their husbands, it occurs frequently in epitaphs. Women are to love their husbands. They are to be affectionate toward him. Must be faithful to her husband. The church is to be faithful to Christ. The church is the bride of Christ, and she is to be faithful. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, chapter 4 and verse 4, there is but one body. And chapter 5 and verse 23, to submit to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 4. The church is to be faithful to Christ. So we, as the Christians, as children of God, are to be faithful to Christ. So is the wife to be faithful to her husband. The wife, by covenant, in Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17, the wife is to enter into the same covenant that the man does. You know, that's one of the things that when young people are married today, you know, we talk about, are you ready to give yourself to him and to no other? To keep yourself for him and to no other, or something along that line. And that is part of the wedding vow. And of course, when you violate that covenant, when you violate this trust, you become guilty of adultery. So she must be faithful to her husband. Just as the husband must be faithful to the wife. It works both ways, doesn't it? To be pure and virtuous, Titus 2 and verse 5. And an adulterous wife is an example. In Ezekiel, the 16th chapter and verse 32, the Lord uses this illustration to denounce the children of Israel. In Ezekiel, the 16th chapter and verse 32, you are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. Men make payment to all harlots, but you made for payments to all your lovers. You paid them, he says, and hired them to come to you from all around for your harlotry. Well, that's being condemned by the Lord. As a wife, you must be faithful to your husband. As a wife, you are to keep and guide the home. Let's go back to Titus chapter 2. In Titus, in the second chapter, in verse 5, that term homemakers there in the New King James Version, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, to keep and to guide the home. Turn back over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, where the Apostle Paul there says, therefore I desire that the younger women, younger widows, marry, bear children, manage the house. Give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Manage the house. The idea of managing there is to oversee. She has responsibility in that home. She is to oversee that home. Now, she is to do that under the headship of the husband, but she is to oversee that home. She has authority in that home. She is to manage the house. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers. And by the way, that's not dealing with all the niceties that are physical in nature, material in nature within the home, to keep up everything and keep it all looking good and clean and spotless and all of that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the nature, the people that make up the home. She has responsibility to teach, to instruct. The means here is to take care of household affairs. Proverbs 31, 28. In fact, let's turn over to the book of Proverbs. Let's look at some of the things that the wise man has to say regarding this virtuous woman of Proverbs 31st chapter. Many of you, I know, very familiar with this text, beginning in verse 28. Notice what he says. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in her gates. She takes care of the household affairs, and we're going to look at the rest of this text in just a minute. I didn't just skip it intentionally. We're going to go back to it, and we're going to look at some of the things that she does. To work outside of the home, in fact, if you have your Bibles open to Proverbs 31, we're going to do that in just a moment. Working outside of the home, there are those who believe that it's wrong for a woman to work outside of the home. I believe that that is a misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches. The Bible certainly does authorize, I believe, a woman to work outside of the home. However, whatever work that she does outside of the home is to facilitate her duties as the wife in the home and not prevent her from fulfilling those duties. If her work prevents her from fulfilling her duties at home, then she needs to stop that work, whatever that is. Her work should facilitate her duties at home. The primary responsibility is there, the guiding and keeping of the home. Now, let me give an example, an illustration of that. Now, I believe that you can work outside the home and do all kinds of things outside the home, as long as it does not prevent you from doing your work. Denise, when our boys were little, she worked. The whole time that they were coming up, they were growing up, she worked. But the bad thing for my sons was that she worked where they went to school. She was with them, she was around them, she knew everything that they did all day long. They couldn't get out from under her, no matter how hard they tried. I thought that was a good arrangement. She works at school. They go to school. She's there. They're there. Good arrangement. I'm not saying that the woman has to be there where her children are. Her children have to be where she is at work. But she cannot forsake her responsibilities in that home. And if the work facilitates, and it should facilitate her work at home, then what's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? Her primary responsibilities cannot be neglected. If they are neglected, she's wrong. But if the primary responsibilities are being fulfilled, then I see nothing wrong with it. And let me show you why I say that. Going back to Proverbs 31. Let's go back up to verse 13. And let's just do some reading beginning in verse 13 of the book of Proverbs. In fact, let's just back up to verse 10. Let's read the entire section. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord. Now this woman that has been described is a woman who fears the Lord. Now what were some of the things that she was engaged in as she feared the Lord? She worked. She provided for her family. She provided clothing. She provided food. She bought and sold. She was a businesswoman. She was engaged with the community. But she was a woman who feared the Lord. A virtuous woman. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She was recognized in the gates. Her husband was known in the gates, and so was her work, and so was her effort. Lydia is another lady in Acts 16, verses 14 through 15. She was a seller of purple. So women can work, can do the things that need to be done to facilitate the home. She must, however, in all things, remain subordinate to her husband. So did the woman that we just read about. And the husband apparently loved her and appreciated her for her service and for her hard work and her labor. She was rewarded. As a mother, she is to love her children, Titus 2 and verse 4. To love her children, to provide for their needs, to help them, to be affectionate toward them, to provide for and cherish her children, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, as the Apostle Paul talks about how he had come to them in Thessalonica as a woman cherishes her children. To teach her children the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the mother and grandmother of Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Why was Paul persuaded that the faith that had been possessed by his grandmother and by his mother was also in him? He was persuaded of that because he had known that those women taught him the Word of God. Lois passed it on to her daughter, Eunice. Eunice taught her son, Timothy. Turn over to chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. How did Timothy come to know the Holy Scriptures? How did he learn
about the Holy Scriptures?
From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. A woman has the responsibility to teach her children. Like mother, like daughter, must teach daughters how to be godly women. Ezekiel 16:44, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Since we're here in 2 Timothy, let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Women, mothers, teach your daughters how to dress, how to act. Teach them what the Bible says. And I'll tell you something else that a woman needs. As a mother, she is to be honored. Because there is no greater responsibility that God has given to us than to teach and bring up children and to teach them in the ways of the Lord. She is to be honored. And a woman who is busy teaching her children, bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, deserves honor. And we need to respect her. As the song Glen Campbell wrote, there ought to be a hall of fame for mothers. You know, God instituted the home. So we need to turn to God's Word to find out how He wants it organized, the duties that He wants fulfilled there. We need to go to God's Word to find out the kind of people that we ought to be in that relationship. Now, friend, we live in a world of broken homes. We live in a world where mothers do not know what their responsibilities are, and for the most part, don't even care. We live in a world where fathers and husbands, they have no idea what it means to love their wives as Christ loved the church, because they've never heard of what the church is. They have no idea of their responsibilities. And too many just don't care. We need to know. We need to be aware of what God says. And we need to follow God's pattern in this regard. Because let me tell you something. When we follow God's pattern, you're going to assure yourself joy, peace, and happiness. Because that's exactly the product, the fruit of following God's will in the home. When husbands and wives and children fulfill their responsibilities, when they love the Lord and they love each other as God tells them to, you're going to find a home where love is. And there's nothing greater than a home where love is. God has given rules for each member of the home. No question about that. Let us look to God's Word. Think about the influence that women have on our society. How great is that influence? So therefore, that influence needs to be the right influence. Women must fulfill God-given roles as wives. Women must fulfill the God-given roles as mothers. Women must live to save others. You know, in fact, how many churches have begun by faithful women? Back during the World War II era, many churches were made up of just women. You go back in the New Testament time, you find women who are in prominent places in the church. Now, they did not perform the work of elders or deacons. They did not have headship or leadership in the church. But they served, and they were intricate parts of the body of Christ. And women are important in the body of Christ. We must be busy serving, saving, helping others. And all this to glorify our Creator. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. If you're not, then let me just tell you that the greatest joy, the greatest pleasure in life is to become a child of God and follow His will. Whether you're a man or a woman, doesn't matter. The gospel is for all. Male, female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter in God's system. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, hath put on Christ. However, we have roles to fulfill. Once you obey the gospel, you must serve the Lord. Is your focus upon the spiritual beauty and the things that God has required? Is your focus upon serving Him? If you've never obeyed the Lord, if you've never rendered obedience to Him, this morning you can. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you've never rendered obedience to His will by being baptized for the remission of your sins, you need to. The gospel is for all. And you can come forward this morning expressing your desire to submit to His will, and we'll baptize you into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've once done that, and you've turned away from the instructions of Christ, you've left your role, whether it's a child or a mother, or a wife or a husband or a father, whatever your role may be. If you've left that role, you haven't fulfilled that role, you need to repent. And if there are some things that are known publicly in your life that you need to make a public acknowledgement of, do that this morning as well. Whatever we can do to help you, won't you come as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected for your encouragement.